I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny.
Dude, the weather's finally getting nice here. Even I'm a little tanned. Yeah, my pasty ass can get tanned, people. Like,
dude, it's been so gray in LA.
It's about time you get what we have. When like we're sitting here, snow, rain in June sometimes, and we're like LA's in like drought or some shit. It's like I'd love a drought. I'd love some sun, bro. Like.
You know what? You know what's fucking crazy? I think honestly, the weather this year has been so fucking bananas, dude. Like the amount of rain that we've gotten. I mean, we needed it, so you know that's good. But it's also like, you know, Californians are basically afraid of rain.
Oh yeah, like looks like a storm's like, a brewing.
Like I'm pretty sure you're aware of this, but there's if unless I absolutely, I mean, 1,000% have to go somewhere. If it's raining, I'm staying home. I'm not fucking driving. Yep. I don't trust fuckers when they're driving in the rain. I don't like driving in the rain. It is so dangerous.
The ghost town that was Burbank when I was in LA in March, when it was that day where it was raining all day, like literally 24/7. Bro, I thought I thought something had happened. I was like, I was on Twitter. I was like, yo, what's going down? It's just raining and people don't like the rain. Well, duh. Like, people were looking at me because I was sitting in my shorts and my t-shirt, and I was like, this is nothing. This is still nice. Like,
you know what that reminds me? That scene, there's a scene in How I Met Your Mother where they're doing, like, that whole hurricane episode, and, like, Robin gets a call from her dad. It's like, yeah, sweater weather.
Yeah.
Like, fucking barbecue weather. All these people freaking out for. And like, what? But, yeah. It's I mean, we're talking about you know, storms that are brewing. We should talk about the WGA strike. It is still ongoing.
Is this our fourth episode speaking about the WGA strike now?
Third, I think. This is the third.
Hey, yeah, call us Harland because we're a hat trick hero. Harland. Which I have to say, in the UK over here, congratulations to City. For winning the Premier League. Arsenal bottled it, as Arsenal usually does. I kind of just want... It'd be cool for City to do the treble, which means they... For you, my American friend over here, that means they win the Premier League, the European Champions League, and then the FA Cup, which is like a cup over here in England that everyone plays in. Even Wrexham played in the FA Cup this year, which is pretty cool. They beat a few... I think they beat a few... A few teams in the Champions League championship.
So, So do you think City has like a chance of
this
blocking that?
Is
then?
It's I honestly don't see a team even giving them grief next year. That's how good this team is.
Fucking A.
There was a clause in Haaland's contract, which was if he wasn't enjoying life at City or like didn't like what was going down, didn't have a very good year, he could just go straight to Madrid. He's basically already said, no, I love Man City, I love this team, Pep is the greatest manager of all time, and I just love Manchester. Honestly, if you go to Manchester, you'd find out why. It's a pretty cool city. So he's basically like, he doesn't want that sort of chain attached to him from Real Madrid anymore. Like he wanted to go, but you know, Real Madrid has got their own problems, you know, in terms of finances. Mm-hmm. City does not, to the point where City even, there's like 150 sanctions on them from like financial misconduct over the last couple of years.
Fuck, man.
There was even talks earlier in the year about them like having like Premier League stripped from them, that which meant like Liverpool would have won two other Premier Leagues, which like it was fucking mental. But it's like apparently it's just like, you know, they're having to sort of the FIFA just like finger wagged at them and goes, you not do this no more. And City's gone, okay. Whilst they're still doing it. Because Haaland is going to sign a contract between the two seasons for an undisclosed fee. We're not actually going to know how much this motherfucker is going to be making per week.
Jesus.
You fucking what? This man sneezes and will make more money than me.
My family have been trying to like get into more soccer and football and Premier League and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I remember I told you that my dad decided that the family team was Man City.
Indeed. My dad was very happy. He got your dad a Man City jersey.
Yeah. So like I watch it on and off. So I have a fairly vague sense of what's going on. But my brother watched Haaland play once and he was like mesmerized, dude. Like,
he just knows how to, like, this man must play football in his sleep. I swear to God. He's just there. For real. He's snoozing, doing keepy uppies, bro.
Like, my brother, like, if he can't catch a full game, he'll watch highlights. Mm-hmm. And every time he watches highlights, dude, Haaland is just a beast, and it is so fucking crazy.
He's this generation's Ronaldo and Messi. The only way is up for him.
Mm-hmm.
How City lose in the space of one season lose Aguero, which was like their go-to guy pretty much, and then it's like, oh, it's okay, we have Haaland now. Like,
yeah.
Aguero was never there. Absolutely mad though. But yes, storms are brewing. WGA, it is so bad. Tell us how bad it is, Sebastian.
So
how bad is it?
So from what I've been reading and what I've been kind of looking at, the next round of actual like negotiation and contract talks with between the WGA and the AMPTP won't happen until like early July. So this strike is going to carry us through June. You know, obviously May.
Truth.
So that's what that is. But the problem now is that the AMTP isn't only worried about riders. So SAG has sent out an authorization for actors to vote for authorizing a strike. It is the first time that SAG has had a strike authorization vote since 1986.
For all of our unaware viewers, can we deconstruct AMTP and SAG, my guy?
Sure. All right. So everyone knows the big studios. You know, you've got Disney, Warner Brothers, Universal, Sony, Paramount. Now Netflix, Amazon,
yeah, sure.
Apple, all of those. So
it's like 99% of the movie industry, my guys.
So instead of, you know, dealing with each studio individually, they've all kind of come together under the banner of the AMPTP. It's essentially called the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers.
Nice.
And it's this group that directly deals with all the unions.
Uh-huh.
So they're the ones making the deals on behalf of the studios between all the unions. Obviously, it didn't work out for the writers, so the writers are on strike. And now with actors, you know, if you don't know, SAG stands for the Screen Actors Guild. If you're a major actor, you're part of them. It's what gives you your insurance. It's what helps you get, you know, your fair wages.
You
it's what makes
paid,
you
paid, pretty much.
It's what gets you paid. It's what helps take care of you.
Yeah.
So the idea of, you can't just strike. You can't just be like, oh, we're on strike. No. Every member of SAG gets the opportunity to say whether or not they want to go on strike. And, you know, it's a lot to consider. Because, yes, you know, you want to fight for wages. But while you're fighting for those wages, you're not making those wages. So you have to really decide, okay, at this point in time, can I fight for it? But the thing with it, though, is it has to be unanimous. And if the writer's strike is any indication, the SAG strike will happen. And then following that, you have the DGA, which is the Directors Guild of America, who will be in contract talks with the AMTP. And effectively, I would say by maybe late July, early August, Hollywood will be completely shut down.
Holy we're talking fucking tumbleweed ghost town.
Oh yeah, because it's one thing if so with the writer's strike, there's no new shit. New shit isn't coming in, but people can still work on stuff that was completed before the strike. The problem is, once the actors and the directors go on strike, no one's working on anything because who the fuck are they going to work with?
Exactly.
It's this domino effect.
And me and Sebastian and are sort of in the position of as like unrepresented writers who are still trying to even like we said a couple of weeks ago, you know, we're not struggling to get our foot in the door. We're struggling to even find where the building is.
Yeah.
You know, we've literally been seeing online, you know, we need to watch our backs about like sort of producers coming our way and being like, hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
let's start making something. Because it's this kind of like, it's this dark time where it's like, you're either with us or you're against us. And if you start moving yourself against like the WGA, as an actor against SAG or a director against DGA, you know, that's on your resume. It's like
it's a black mark. It's effectively blacklisted.
Spot. Yeah, but you get blacklisted. It's like, you know, the question will arise. It's like, oh, hey, you know, you were writing this, you know, that got produced in 2024. Like, when did you start writing it? And like, when did it get picked up? I didn't start writing it in July, and it didn't get picked up in December. It's not illegal, but it's heavily frowned upon.
Yeah, like we kind of joked about it when we were first talking about the strike. Like, oh, it's opportunity, you know, we can kind of just slide in there. And
we were actually kind of excited. Like, I'm not gonna lie, we were like, yo, you know, now's the time for us. But not like, I want to go.
When
back
reality
to
sets
a couple
in.
Of weeks, a couple of weeks ago, I want to punch myself in the face because
he just slapped like, yo, no,
new,
yeah, like,
yeah.
The reality is doing that. Opportunity or not, would ultimately fuck us in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're right now in a position, yes, we're not represented. We are still very much new, even though we've been doing this for a few years now.
But hopefully the call for content
in the eyes of Hollywood,
after this finishes, there'll be a call for content. And, you know,
That's what I'm hoping for. Because, like,
we'll be there, scripts in hand. It's like, hey!
Because, like, looking at what, like, the whole thing is about, it's about future writers. It's about making sure that the opportunities are still there.
Honestly,
it's about making
it is,
sure that...
It is about...
Go, like following this as a career is even a fucking option. At the end of the day, that's what the strike is about.
Yeah.
And like the writers aren't asking for an unreasonable amount of money in comparison. Like collectively from all the studios, they're asking for like less than a percent from every pie.
The amount these studios have lost through the strike so far,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't even amount to the amount they had to pay the writers in the first contract the WGA tried to get signed. That's yep. how can you be that fucking stupid?
Mm-hmm.
How can you mm-hmm. be that fucking
all of this
greedy?
Could have been avoided.
This could have been avoided. You've lost more money than you would have, than actually just paying.
Yeah.
You chose not to pay, and now you fuck you. Go shop at Walmart with the rest of us. You fucking assholes.
and it's not even just the movie studios, dude. Like I was reading the other day that since the strike started, California has lost almost $30 million a week.
Oh yeah, because you got to think the amount of businesses that are filmmaking based
mm-hmm.
that I've literally just had mm-hmm. to
the entire state builds itself as the film capital of the planet, mm-hmm. and when there's no writers, it fucks everything. You don't think you wouldn't think about it. It was like, oh, the writers aren't writing. How is that going to affect the state of California? It's going to cost them millions of dollars, dude. That's how.
Yep.
It is mind blowing. But that is where it's at. And obviously for us, we hope that I have no doubt that the writers are going to win. I have no doubt that they're going to come out on top, because it only takes one studio. My sister and I were talking about it, and she was telling me that essentially the way the last strike kind of came to an end, one of the studios just kind of buckled and said, all right, let's talk, and they gave in. So the other studios were like, well, he gave in and now he has writers and they can pump out new shit. If I'm gonna sit here twiddling my thumbs, I'm fucked, so I gotta give in. It's that domino effect. It's as long as one effect, falls, everyone else will fall.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We hope. We wait and see.
Caesar's divide and conquer, my guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of those motherfuckers is going to cripple, and it'll probably be Netflix, I bet.
Especially after their stupid fucking password crackdown thing that came out. I don't know if you saw this.
So weird. I wonder if that'll affect me when I go to... No, because my Netflix should still realize that I'm still... I'm in a mm-hmm. family connected one with my dad, and it's UK based. I'll be on Netflix US. I don't know. It's so fucking stupid. It's so fucking weird.
They're introducing a charge for it now. It's $8 if you want to give someone else your password.
Have you seen one of Netflix's earliest tweets from 2011, 2010 as well?
Mm-mm.
What it said?
No.
Love is sharing your password with your loved one. I am not lying. An actual tweet from Netflix. And they've literally just said, nah, fuck that. Love is asking you what, being there, fucking vows in front of your wife, just going, I will now take your $7.99 a month for sharing my Netflix password with you. Romantic. I do.
Bro.
Do me.
Imagine retroactively doing this. Okay, so you've had my password for this long. We broke up this. So you owe me.
You owe me. Fuck's sake.
It's fucking ridiculous, dude. It is so fucking stupid.
The amount of couple of years ago, the big thing was mm-hmm. the big thing was even though I broke up with my ex, he still uses my Netflix. Now you can start making money off that shit, bro.
For real. For real.
Hey, David, everyone's... even though you came in me five times, you now need to pay me for using my Netflix password.
I'm just like, what it, all this does is gives exes that little extra to fuck with them. It's like, hey, you could totally keep using my password. You just got to pay. Oh, you don't want to pay? Sorry.
Bro, I'd fucking be there. I'd double down on this shit. So, hey, like, you can pay $7.99 a month, or you can get the premium deal, and you can pay me for a year now. Like, like, monopolize this shit. Netflix, for real. Netflix going for it? You go for it, girl. Come on. Fight back.
There you go.
Fuck David, man. David's a prick. David fucked your best friend a week after he broke up with you. He told me so himself. I'd like to specify this girl and David do not exist. Like, you know that sort of message at the end of every movie? Like, the actions depicted in this movie are completely coincidental? Fucking David's at home listening to Freeborn. It's like, dudes, what the fuck?
There's every David on the planet. What the fuck?
What the fuck, dude? Freeborn just, like, totally punched me in the dick.
You're just going to have that scenario of this girl, like, a girl just listening to Freeborn, and David just... David, what the fuck did you do?
David, you slept with Sasha? Her tits were huge. What did you want me to do? Damn.
You're going to get that one. It's like, you slept with my best friend. What? You don't have any friends. What are you talking about?
I don't have any friends. I've just got my sister.
Oh.
David?
Oh, shit.
What happened was I thought she was you, and then I realized that she wasn't.
Look,
and
I was drinking White Claw. The Rams just won the football, you know. She was serving me wings, and the wings were really good.
Oh, dude, speaking of really good. There's one thing I kind of want to touch on before we get into like the nitty gritty of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
How stacked is June movie wise, dude? Like, it's coming up, so I feel like we wanted to talk about. I want to talk about it a little bit.
I have been every day. I'm checking like my local cinemas to see if tickets for Flash has come out yet. Like,
fuck, dude.
But we have like it's beyond the big uns. Across Spider-Verse, is it Oppenheimer and Barbie in June, or is that July?
No, that's June.
That's June. Fuck me. Flash as well. We have this other movie coming out. It's basically June. It's next week, but it's basically June. I'm going to butcher this. Not that anyone from Finland is listening to Freeborning. Sisu?
Oh, that's come out over here already.
It's basically like... John Wick in World War II? My dad watched that movie.
He fucking loved that movie.
The trailer literally starts with some guy eating a mine, basically. Like, hey, can you hold this real quick? Yeah, sure. Holy shit.
it looks
awesome.
It's on Amazon Home Premiere for us already.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to see it in cinema next week, so fuck you.
My dad saw it in theaters.
Oh, nice. Props to your dad. Fuck you, seen it on the TV.
it was honestly so funny. He was like, "Have you heard of this movie?" And he was just struggling to think of the name. He was like, "It's not like it's in English, but it's not English." And I was like, "What? What the hell do you talk?" So I'm like scouring the internet. And he was like, "Oh, this one?" So yeah, and we watched the trailer on the TV, and I was just like, oh my god!
Yeah.
This is amazing,
dude. It's kind of like just seeing this dude. Fury meets John Wick, and I love both those movies.
For real, oh man, it is such a trip.
Yeah, but yeah, dude. Back to the point a little bit. Yeah, June. Like, I'm so glad I've got like my Cineworld Unlimited card because this shit costs me nothing. I just need to watch how many times I get my nachos and my drink though. Like, I'm trying to work on my weight, man. I don't need nachos and drink every time I go to the movies. I need to imbue that. I swear there's something in these fucking nachos, man. Like every time, like I'm walking into the cinema, like I've had my lunch, I've had a couple of beers,
you know, like, I don't need nachos. I'm at the desk and I've ordered, like, they're already there. Jalapenos, two cheese dips, Pepsi Max large. Like, I'm like, motherfucker. Like, it's
like, how does this keep happening?
Where did the sweeties come from?
This is like you black out for a second. You wake up and you're in the movie theater. You have all this stuff in front of you. You're like, shit, not again.
You know, I just like, maybe I need to start doing what Ryan does, which is just like throw it all over the floor. Maybe that's like, it's not accidental. I see you, Ryan. I see this is like, it's like, oh no, oops. Now I only have to have wink, wink, half a bag.
All right, everyone, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are breaking down our favorite Spielberg movies.
Steven Spielberg. If you know that reference, I love you.
All right, we will be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Tiffany, I only slept with Sasha twice. Come on. Come back to me. Need that Netflix. You season 5's coming out, dude.
Damn, dude. David's just really in it. David's
invested in you. He might be the only one left because that show has gone downhill.
Like, I finished it and I was just like, I don't know. Yeah, that last season just didn't hit the same.
Oh, because my mum doesn't listen to the podcast. I can tell you guys. I think my mum's in the other room, so I need to be careful. I got my mum the books to that fucking shit for her birthday.
Oh, nice.
My mum loves to read. She goes on plenty of holidays. But apparently, I've got her books. My dad got her some books. And my dad's brother got her some books. And my mum loves to read, but like, you know, I like to watch movies. But if I got that many like DVDs and Blu-rays, like for my birthday and Christmas, I'd be like, I like more than movies, guys. Like,
it's like, you guys, there is hobbies. More to my personality.
I got hobbies, you guys. I love to masturbate too. Come on, give me lube.
You're just gonna get like a box full of lotions and different scented fucking wipes and stuff, and like. Aw, and some candles. Oh, I'm gonna make this special.
Fucking David just gets a letter from Sasha. It's like,
the password's free this month.
If I can remember, I'm gonna make this shit like. Expect the Chronicles of David and Sarah to good like to just follow through freeballing, man. Right. David, go to sleep. Fucking, what's your first Steven Spielberg movie, bro?
So, hold on. So before we get into that, I kind of want to talk about Spielberg, like, as a director.
He's still alive, making movies. Goddamn.
He's still alive making great movies.
100%. Fablemans came out last year, this year for UK. And, like, he's that shit still be hitting, bro.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't missed a step.
Like, I was watching this doc on him, and learning about his life and the way he kind of came about it. And it's just, at the end of the day, he's just a guy who's so enamored with telling stories and, like, being creative and trying to tell the best possible story that he can in any way, in any shape or form.
Story's driven by that. like emotion, character, like you see that kind of shit like for today from like Tarantino, James Gunn. You know James Gunn inspiration for like such in-depth character storytelling comes from a love of watching Spielberg. Has to be.
Yeah. And like coming up when he did, like, he wasn't coming up with nobody. He came Lucas, Scorsese, De Palma, Coppola, and the idea that he's, you know, coming around all these people. And they're all elevating each other and pushing each other. And he's still standing. I feel like of all of them, he stands out the most for me.
He stands out the most.
For like, a number of reasons. But
I know some people may not say quality, but like in terms of the amount of quality, though, like you got to think about it. Like Scorsese, like, you know, it's every couple of years. I know the Killing of a Flower Moon. I don't know the name of that fucking shit. It's gonna be 3 hours long, and I ain't looking forward to it.
It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be a rough watch. I feel like,
especially after the Bogus Afraid. I told you I wasn't gonna talk about it. I'm not gonna talk about it. But long movies just ain't doing it for me now, man. Like I find myself getting bored. Like I'm there in the cinema. Like I'm, just, you know, because it's not like Octane and superhero movies. But like at least in those movies, like. You know, this set pieces. You know, shit's going down. But like,
I feel like certain genres are open to that kind of thing. But I also feel like the genres that just dive way too much into the length of the story as opposed to the quality of the story are just so overly indulgent, and that doesn't help. Like that doesn't help. Like the fucking Irishman had to be like split up to watch it.
Oh, dude.
Which is. Crazy.
I've not even seen that movie. Honestly, I hands up. I've not even seen The Irishman. I have seen it once.
But like with Spielberg, it never feels like a slog, even in like
one
his
of
more
his traits
quiet
I found
movies.
Whilst doing research, one of his traits, he's kept his movies around like the 2 hour mark. They're a little bit over 2 hours, like here and there. There's some that like push the boat out a little bit, but like most of his movies like are sort of, you know, he finds that sweet spot, man. That sweet spot of like, you know, like audience retention. He's so good at that shit. He knows you can watch a Steven Spielberg movie and like being able to know when you're in the final act. So it's like, you know, it's about to kick off. These velociraptors and these T-Rexes are about to go ham on each other. And Sam Neill's in the middle of this shit? Okay. Fucking Ryan, don't spill the popcorn. I need some of that shit, man. Like, damn. Like.
Well, since you kind of alluded to it, the first movie that I want to talk about is Jurassic Park.
Shit, no way. I was just talking about that movie.
Crazy. Synergy. So I love this movie. I love this movie so much. It is literally my brother's favorite movie of all time.
Goddamn.
And when you think about the work that goes into the making of that movie, like everything, the biggest takeaway for me,
bro,
the animatronics, dude, like the incorporation of computer and animatronic. Like, the marriage of it to make it look so fuck... Because it still holds up.
It still holds up. I was waiting for these exact words. Like, I was like, if he's not going to say it, like, I'm going to come through the phone and I'm going to slap you.
it holds up. The performances are still spot on.
Yeah.
Fucking Sam Jackson's amazing. Sam Neill, fucking Jeff Goldblum. It all hits in such a perfect way. It is such a great movie. And like it, at the end of the day, it's just dinosaurs. But fuck me, they make you feel something. The like that point with the brontosaurus when they're in the trees. There's it gives me like, you know, that moment in fucking The Last of Us with the giraffes. If that's not a direct callback to that moment 100%. In Jurassic Park.
My parents hadn't played the games, so they didn't know that was gonna. They didn't know that shit was gonna happen. I did. It's so like when that happened, my parents were like, "Yo, like that the homage to Jurassic Park right there was mad." And I was like, 100%, like.
So good.
And it's just one of those movies that when you're. Especially, I feel like especially when you kind of take the time to like deconstruct how it came about and like the insanity of it. Like there's this docuseries on Disney Plus where they talk about like, Lucasfilm and the evolution of special effects and all of that stuff and ILM and how that the incorporation that they played in Jurassic Park, it's fucking crazy. Like it's one of those few movies that. Knew where the future was going as far as special effects, you know, computers and all of that stuff, but was still more than willing to use the tried and tested method of real and animatronic and all of that stuff and that marriage of it. Oh, chef's kiss, bro. Chef's kiss.
Dude, can I pause for a sec?
Sure.
So, you know, I told you before, by all means, keep this in the episode because, like, I am flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about that guy doing the review for Westwise the Raven. He did the trailer reaction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It already has 7K views. And I've literally been watching my phone with the updates. It came out about 10, 20 minutes ago.
Fuck, dude. That's so sick.
Can I just see if it's like... I know we were on 1,000 views this morning on...
Uh-huh. Yeah, go for it, dude.
Let me just see if it's changed. Mockingbird... Why can't I spell bird right now? Hands are literally shaking.
Why can't I spell
that is
bird?
Huge. Yo, we've gone up 200 views in like the last couple of minutes. We were literally on a K as the video started.
Dude. Holy. Yes.
Holy
fuck
guac.
Yeah, dude.
So
holy guac.
Even had fajitas yesterday. Didn't even get the guac. I don't think guacamole works well with prawn fajitas. But yo,
yeah, no.
You know what I found in England? I was so glad. I found me some fucking Old Bay seasoning, bro.
Bro,
like my mum and dad were watching me cook. Like were watching me cook last night, and they were like, Ed, why aren't you doing like the prawns in like butter and parsley and all this shit? I did them shits in chili oil and Old Bay seasoning. And nice. I looked at them both and was like, this is all you need.
This is all you need.
This is all you need.
Fucking A.
Oh, so, holy, yeah. So I'm going to get this movie out of the way. It's a risky one. I know there's if either of us make it and freeballing just like seems to sort of barrel roll of one of us making it and people start listening and this is an episode they come to, I'm sorry, this movie, this book, it means so much to me. Ready Player One.
Nice.
I think given the circumstances, hands up, the book is better, but as a filmmaker, watcher, lover, I can read the book and know it is impossible to make fully. There's too many rights involved. I don't know about like writing a book, like how Ernest Cline went about, like sort of, I don't know if it's a book you can just like, you just write about it. Like you're not really using it.
You're not seeing it. Yeah, so I guess it's not the same.
Like there's like, if you read the book, you know, there's just way too much. Like Warner Bros. Ain't going to agree with Universal because Universal's going to be like, hey, we need to have more of our shit because it was a Universal made movie. So like, Warner Bros. Is going to be like, okay, yeah, you can use our shit, but we need our shit to have as much screen time as Universal. And Universal's like, no, go fuck yourself. Warner Bros. Is like, okay, cool, have none of our shit then. Dudes, don't be a dick. But like, you know, like if there's anyone who's going to be like, Universal has enough IP to make a Ready Player One movie work and, you know, if we get Ernest Cline to write the script, which he did, so you know, like, if you hate, if you're one of those guys like, oh, the book is so much better, the motherfucker who wrote the book wrote the movie, man. So, like, don't be giving me that shit. Like, I don't know who wrote the movie. Well, maybe Ernest Cline did. Like, come on, shut the fuck up. Like,
I love his book.
I hate those comments. You know I do. He was like, if there's a company that has enough to sort of make 80% of the movie work, it's Universal. And of course, Steven Spielberg had to direct this movie. Because half the shit the movie the book references, he was front and center. He was there. He was on the front fucking lines, bro.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one else. Maybe George Lucas, could have come in and helped, you know. But then South Park would have just had a fucking field day with that shit again.
It's funny because I always took Ready Player One as like Steven Spielberg basically being paid to direct a movie where he pays homage to himself.
Literally, and bro.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
That's where I want to get to.
Every time I watch this movie, like, I have a great time. The soundtrack, the characters, mm-hmm. I can translate all the big plot points from the book to the movie. The changes mm-hmm. are relevant because, you know, most of the book, like, you know, a book, you have to make that shit go 400 pages. So, there's some moments that are just like, we have been here a while. Like, the whole first, like, so, you know, there's in the movie, there's the eggs, there's keys and eggs. Well, in mm-hmm. the book, the journey for each key and each egg is separated. In the movie, every like, you know, there's just one egg and there's three keys or some shit like mm-hmm. that, I think it is. Or like they're all connected. You find the Easter egg, you get a key. This shit's completely different. You have to find the Easter egg, then you get the key, then you have to go find the door. like there's so much. The whole first little bit of the movie takes place in school.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like, you know, there's like different worlds within Oasis. There's an there's an education like there's an education world where, like, you know, mm-hmm. you sort of, you can only do so much, you know, you can't, you know, you ain't gonna be out there, you know, fucking. But it's like the actual first key is in the education world, and it's like it's completely removed. It's, but honestly, the way the movie does it, it's, you know, it's watchable. I don't want to be sitting there like, you've shown me this Oasis world, and now you're sort of making me watch school in a series. Yeah, maybe given more time, given more money, I would have liked to see a Ready Player One series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, maybe
I feel like you'd be able to see it do a lot more.
Yeah,
you'd
be
in that space.
Like, be do a lot. You could do a lot more. Like, maybe like each key is a season or some shit. Because, like, every mm-hmm. single one, like, sort of ends on, like, a little bit of a cliffhanger. Sort of each key leads into the next key, vice versa. But honestly, just every time I watch this movie, great time. I see a reference that I didn't see before. Or, like, the references I do see are great. Like, I love Gears of War. You know, I do. I'm an Xbox fanboy. And I think there's one moment where I-Rock, TJ Miller's character. Where's he these days? Oh, wait, yeah, that's why. this motherfucker got cancelled. Didn't he try to bring like a? Didn't he say like his bomb? Like he tried to do like a fake bomb scare, on like a New York subway,
something like that.
Like whilst he was getting canceled for sexual harassment, he was an idiot. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, I wonder if he's going to be Deadpool 3. Wah, wah. He changes his gun to the Lancer from Gears mm-hmm. of War, and it's like 10 seconds. It's not even 10 seconds. It's like a couple of seconds. I'm like, yeah, that's sick. The rocket launcher from Doom when they're like doing the TDM world in the beginning, like where they make money and shit. Mm-hmm. And you've got like the fucking long shot sniper from Halo. You've got like the Doom chainsaw, like it's blinking, you miss it kind of stuff. And then just like the fucking Chucky line, it gets me every time. Fucking Chucky. Love this movie. Love this movie. A big shout out to a very close friend of mine, Selena. She knew how much I wanted to go see this movie. I struggled to get premier tickets. I tried. I had everyone texting me, like, from my class. They're like, Ed, you know, tickets have come out. And I'm there, like, I'm walking home or some shit. It's like, I'm trying. Stop texting me. Like, because I'm getting kicked out of the fucking page. I have to re-enter the queue. And Selena was like, oh, I got two tickets. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, you go with a friend. It's like, I'm telling you I've got two tickets. So the little heart eyes emoji just, like, came over my face. I was like... It was awesome. It was such a great time. Like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was the first time I my first ever movie in the TLC IMAX, the Chinese theater, was Ready Player One. Only.
Oh, man.
Only fitting. I've seen two movies in that theater. Ready Player One and Dune.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Fucking A, dude.
Yeah. So, yeah, that, like, Ready Player One. I had to start high. My next two movies, they're good, but I probably should have ended with Ready Player One the way I talk about this shit. Like, my next two movies, like, I like them, but nah, yeah, it's, like, these guys, the Steven Spielberg, man.
Yeah,
the amount of genres this man has touched.
Oh yeah,
sci-fi, action, war, you know, comedy. Drama, comedy, suspense, thriller, and now, like, he's doing, he's making his way now through, like, musical theater remakes. I didn't watch it, but I heard West Side Story slapped hard, won Oscars.
Yeah.
Can't say that's a bad movie. It fucking won Oscars, man. Like. I mean, you're welcome to. You'd be wrong. Yeah, you know, I'd tell you you're wrong, but, like, man. I need to know. What's your next movie, dude?
So mine is E.T.
Oh. Bruh.
That is
next.
That is my
next week's
fucking...
director, like.
We started high.
I pity
we
the next. Really
high. Not,
why did we start with Spielberg, bro?
It just felt like the easiest way. And now in hindsight, we're like, wow, we. Fuck me, man. We.
Christopher Nolan's out
where
here.
Do we,
like,
where do we
like...
go from here? But no, like, E.T. is very much childhood favorite, man. I remember watching it as a kid. And I remember watching it with my sister and my cousin. And my sister she really likes the movie. And my cousin was so afraid of E.T. for so long. Like, he obviously doesn't really do anything scary. He doesn't try to scare anybody. He's just funny looking. Literally why she was scared of him. Because of the way E.T. looked. But, like, you know, it's such an iconic movie. And the moment, obviously, of, like, E.T. and the kid flying on the bike over the fucking moon. Mm-hmm. It's the logo for Steven Spielberg's production company.
I mean, Amblin Productions, my guy. Mm-hmm. These guys followed me. I Instagrammed so much about Ready Player One news. These guys followed me and was like, "Hey, you know, when we get some shit, if you can repost it for us, that'd be great." Like,
fuck.
Man, I should send them a message on Instagram. I was like, "Hey, you're hiring?" Like,
yeah. Well, maybe not now, but when this
maybe
is
not
over,
now,
yeah.
But like when this shit's over, just bro. Straight up, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'ma be there DMing Amblin and say, yo, you up?
Oh. You know what's crazy about for E.T.? I think it was one of the first times that I cried during a movie.
Damn.
Yeah, man, like the scene where he's like on the verge of like the scene when he's like on the verge of death and you just see the plant starting to go.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, bro.
Yeah.
No.
Not and my boy. My boy. Yeah.
I think my favorite scene though is when E.T.'s like alone in the house and like the mom's around and she's like doing all this stuff and she just never sees him. And he's developed that connection with the kid and he drinks. and he's drunk, and the kid's drunk, and he's doing all the shit that E.T.'s seeing, and it's just such a good back and forth. It's so fucking funny, dude. It is so fucking funny. That I love that movie so much. I love it so much. It is such a great movie, and it's one of those movies where you're like, it's gonna live on.
Oh,
forever.
Yeah, 100%.
It's
like that.
It's going to live
movie
on forever.
Will never die. The commercials, the parodies, the remakes, like fucking Paul, straight up an adult E.T.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, it's probing time.
It's probing time. Spaceman balls. I fucking love that scene. But yeah, honestly, like, if there's one, like, you know, give me, you know, that's another list we could do. Movies that will withstand the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've probably already done it. Because, like, you may not know this, but me and Sebastian were talking about ideas we could do the other week. And I even said to him, like, bro, like, what was I watching? The Prestige. And I was like, I love this movie, but it's one of those movies you can only watch once. And I said to him, like, yo, should we do that for a list? Movies you can only watch once. My man literally goes to check our like list of episodes. He's like, bro, we've already done that.
We've done that already.
And I was like, maybe we could do it better. Shit. Like,
well, you know, I think I have, in thinking about it now, I think I might have an idea about how to do it. We'll talk about it after. Give me your next movie, bro.
My next movie. I'm trying to remember what I gave you. Oh, crap. Shaving Ryan's Privates, bro. Shaving Private Ryan. Love that shit. I mean, sorry. Saving Private Ryan. Don't Google the other two movies unless you want to. Unless you want to be texting Amblin at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, you up?
You know, I thought I knew, obviously, Shaving Ryan's Privates was a joke, but then you said Shaving Private Ryan. I was like, was that part of the joke, or did he intentionally fuck up the name?
I intentionally fucked up. No, so okay. I was doing it. I did it twice. But yeah, Saving Private Ryan, like quintessential World War II movie.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that like there will never be a more perfect recreation of D-Day.
Yeah,
like that. I dare you to watch that scene and not get choked up a little bit, not feel like, you know, not have that sort of sense of like worry, because, you know, if unless you're a complete fucking dum-dum, you know the amount of numbers that were lost on that day. That was a war of attrition. It was like, you know, all the UK, the US, the Allied generals basically said, at some point, the Germans have to reload, and then that's when we can make our move. It's like, what? That's not a plan? Like, and honestly, you see the colossal, you know, just the almost catastrophic opening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, honestly, dude, that one scene alone, you know, you got fucking... It's all about family. Vin Diesel in this movie as well. God damn. Like, he's trying to save that baby. You know, he gets himself shot, like, right in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
He got Barry Pepper calling himself the fucking Hand of God. Whilst he's in the tower, he'd just be sniping. Again, Tarantino parodied. Because, like, he recreates that scene, like, the German side with Daniel Brühl in... in Inglourious Basterds. I loved that kind of homage. Like, I had to tell my dad that. He was like, he watched it the first time. He was like, oh, I like that scene with Daniel Brühl in the tower. I was like, you know that's Saving Private Ryan, right? Like, he was like, what? I was like, I launched a bottle off his head right there. I was like, no, I didn't. But like, it's my dad. I love him. He'd hit me back. But like honest,
the D-Day scene, but the visual that always gets me for that is the amount of blood that's in the water.
Yeah.
Like, the water is just...
It's
red.
It's the tin can. The guy gets shot through his water can, and it starts, like, it starts water first, and then it starts leaking blood because the bullet went through.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, that's... And then, of course, like, my favorite scene. The scene that, like, I remember my parents, like, my mum wanted to talk to me about the movie because, like, she knew, like, the impact it would have. And she was like, do you want to talk about it? And I was like...
the fuck Hitler scene really got me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not saying, like, apparently, like, I think it was online, I may get this wrong, they're not saying fuck Hitler in German. They're saying it in Czech.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're, like, they're soldiers that have been, like, it's like Germany was running out of soldiers. So they just, like, oh, hey, you're a Nazi now. Put this kit on. Start shooting that way. And then as soon as the Allies come up, it's like they put the fucking guns down. It's like, yo, no, please, God. And then the Americans are like, nope, you're the enemy. Pew, pew. Dude. And on it, like, I went from that, and then I went from Saving Private Ryan, as anyone should, I went from that to Banner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, again, your mind just explodes with, like, the stories, like, the recreations.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, but, like, if you've seen Saving Private Ryan, and it is, like, and you're one of those that puts it in your top 10, it's one of those, like, you know, you may have only seen it, like, once or twice, but, you know, there's a scene you remember. I know, like, everyone remembers that sort of, like, the perfect crossfade of Matt Damon from young to old. That's how you mm-hmm. crossfade. Everyone has a scene. Everyone has a moment. Everyone has a picture, like Tom Hanks, pistol, shooting at the tank. And then the Allies come in and I remember seeing it for the first time and going, yo, did Tom Hanks like fire a bullet down the tube or some shit? And it's like, no, the plane goes, my dumbass thought Tom Hanks just shot a tank. And I was like, yes, big man. Pop, pop, bang, bang. Like, yes, my man. Give it big ones, bro.
Take down this tank with a 9mm. Yeah. Fuck you, bro.
Hey, guys, Tom Hanks, 1v1ing a tank today. Let's get into it. Like, 10k likes. Let's see if we can do it, you guys. Okay, so maybe the A45 Warthog came in and, you know, kind of stole my kill there, but... But it's like everyone has a moment. But if you haven't seen Band of Brothers, do yourself a favor. That shit is produced by Hanks and Spielberg, because mm-hmm. of how much research they did into World War II. They were like, "Yo, we need to do this," because they learned about Easy Company doing research for Saving Private Ryan, and were just inspired. Mm-hmm. Especially seems like at the time. Dick Winters was still alive. He's not anymore. Rest in peace. So they were like, they had the whole idea. It's like, hey, let's recreate some of the stories. Let's actually like get some, like, you know, let's do like a bit of a documentary feel as well. Like, because at the end, the start of every episode is it interviews from Easy Company or like people mm-hmm. that like heard stories about Easy Company. And it's just so moving. So like, oh man, I'm tearing up just thinking about moments from Band of Brothers. And it, plus, Band of Brothers opened the door to do all the concentration camp location, mm-hmm. Like finding as well, which again, you know, is a huge part of World War II.
You know, Saving Private Ryan was also like, it's pretty famous for starting the Save Matt Damon subgenre of film.
Really?
Saving Private Ryan, then you got Interstellar, you got The Martian.
Okay. Anymore?
I don't think, but the fact that it's already happened 3 times.
Yeah. Freeze enough. Matt Damon,
it's like,
in this movie starring Matt Damon, he needs saving again.
It's like, you know, 3 times is a lot, but it's weird that it's happened that many times already.
All right, dude. We're pushing an hour with this episode. Let's round out these last two. Spielbergo, who all you right, got?
Bro. I got Catch Me If You Can.
Of course. Love the opening sequence to that movie, bro. Even the Simpsons parody to the like for that opening sequence.
It is such a good movie. DiCaprio and Hanks play off of each other so fucking well.
Is that Williams with the score? I think it is as well.
I think so.
I think it is. Fucking love that score.
And it's a movie about a con man in the 60s. That is my fucking jam, dude.
You've been writing a con man story since, as long as I've known you.
I love that shit, dude. I don't know what it is about the world of that. Of like, you know, someone who's sees the situation in life and just decides, hey, fuck it, I can change it. I can pretend to be someone else to improve myself.
I can make money from this.
Exactly. Like the scene where the guy, where DiCaprio pretends to be the substitute teacher to get back at the guy who was bullying him in the fucking hallway was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then and he kept that shit going. He was giving people homework and assignments and tests, and just the whole movie is so fucking good. And then it's like, yes, he's a con man. Yes, he's a criminal. But you see all the crap that he goes through with his mom, all the crap that he goes through with his dad, all the crap that he goes through with the financial hardship of, you know, life just taking its toll, and deciding that this is the only way that he's gonna figure out to improve himself. And then, you know, he ultimately becomes a guy who helps the FBI track people exactly like him, and he's so fucking good at it. He's so fucking good at it, man. It's such a good movie. It's such a funny movie. Hanks is fucking phenomenal.
That scene where he escapes Hanks's cronies by pretending to be an FBI agent already there.
Yep.
Dude, that scene, like, that's just quintessential acting from DiCaprio. Like,
it's early perfect, DiCaprio, man.
Early DiCaprio, peak Hanks. Who plays the dad? Is that Christopher Walken from the
Desert? Christopher
Walken. Yeah.
Christopher Walken.
Fucking love that guy. And then you've got Christopher Walken. And he was like, he's gonna get it. And bingo. And then you got my girl. I love me some Amy Adams, bro.
So good. I feel like she's so underrated. She's so underrated. Fucking good in this
movie.
She's
good in everything. Like Amy Adams and Rachel McAdams. If I could direct any two actresses, just out of pure, like, characterization. Variation and genre is them two gal dem tings, like, as my name Bob would say. Fucking man, yeah, good choice, excellent choice. Right,
thank you, sir.
I need to round this off with an A or B. You know the two movies. I probably should have made my choice before now, but my dumbass did not. So do I go? They're both kind of recent, which may piss off, like, you know, anyone who's looking for Jaws. I like Jaws. Good movie. Great movie.
Yeah.
One of the best. The first
literally only seen
the
it
first
once.
High the first high concept movie. Let's be real.
It started the blockbuster.
It was the blockbuster. It was the original blockbuster. Honestly. But it's not on my list. you know, Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, not on my list.
Schindler's List, not on the list.
War Horse, not on my list. No, Schindler's List. Again, all great movies, bro. Like, we could have a whole episode just about, you know, Spielberg, you know, the life of. But, you know, that's not what this list is about. It's very opinionated list. I hope people understand this. I think I'm going to have to go... Oh, my God, right?
My dude, I've never seen you struggle with a pick before.
But
like
I'm struggling, bro. I love both these movies. I think just because I've been to Berlin, I see the impact. I've got to go with Bridge of Spies. Because there's that scene where Hanks is on the train. Like there's two matching cut moments. He's on the train to West Berlin, and he's watching the guys like try to hop over the fence, and they get shot from the guard tower, and you know, very impactful scene. But actually going to Berlin and seeing, like, the wall graffitied, the wall missing, but, like, you know, you've got the line of, like, where the wall, like, actually was, where the guard tower actually was. You know, it's like, and how easy you can just walk through it now, but, like, some kids were, like, that, like, you know, they risked death to try and cross over the wall, like, huge. And then he's back home, he's on the Brooklyn train, and he sort of sees a similar picture of like, you know, where the like where the apartment building is, where like an empty space is, and he's like, you know, just things America, like the freedom America has taken for granted, yeah, kind of thing, you know. And like at the end of the day, it's all for like one fucking guy whose cyanide tablet failed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like it at like just, and it's honestly, it's that last scene, that last, like one of the last things you see is Tom Hanks just sparked on the bed. He's like, he's literally had enough. He's like, and he's just boom. I'm like, yeah, like honest, like if anyone knows how to do shit that's realistic, it like, mm-hmm, in a most, in a really serious movie, and then just that moment is just like, man, you fucking earned it, G. Like, you know, like way back then, the Soviet Union were just, they were so sneaky.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the Soviets being sneaky within themselves, which was their downfall, which you see, like, is made fun of in Tetris, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there's the, like, factions of the Soviet Union knew it was destined to fail. And it, like, in, you know, Bridge of Spies, it's like, it's pre-Chernobyl, but it, like after Chernobyl, everyone was like, I need to start thinking about life after the Soviet Union. And then, you know, mm-hmm, do you think anyone in the US military is thinking life after the US military? No. And that's why they won, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bridge Pretty of Spies, much. Again. You know, you've got a great score from Thomas Newman, I think it is. Yeah, I want to say Thomas Newman. Love that shit. Hanks, again. You know, great cast. Great acting. Like, the lighting as well. Like very, like, sort of noir-esque. And I'm pretty sure, doesn't it start with... didn't he get the Best Supporting Actor for what he did in this movie? What's his name? Read the BFG in Spielberg's reenactment. Ryan something? He's like a huge British actor. I feel like I should know him. What movie are we talking? Bridge of Spies. Oh, come on, IMDb. You know what I'm looking for. Mark Rylance. I knew Ryan was in there somehow. Mark Rylance starts the movie off with like being the... being the Soviet spy, he's on the bench. He's got like the ten, like he gets like the 10-cent coin, and he has to like sort of peel it off to get the note and shit.
Yeah,
again, great, like just a great little scene. And I'm pretty sure he got Best Supporting Actor for that. Let me just double check. Awards: Oscar winner, Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role, Mark Rylance. And honestly, it's Anthony Hopkins 18 minutes winning Best Actor for Silence of the Lambs. Like, Mark Rylance is in the movie for like a collection of 10 minutes, and this movie's like 2 hours 40 minutes long.
Fucking A.
Yeah, great fucking movie. The other movie, if anyone wanted to know, it was The Fablemans. Saw it last year. It was definitely, I found connections of me being a creator to that movie. I know you did as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I just
like
think
how hard not to, you know.
Yeah, very hard not to. But like, I think, you know, I'm not a director. You know, I'm very much, yeah, you know, I'm very much focused on writing, producing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which director we're gonna do next week, but it's, I don't know, maybe it's gotta be Tarantino, dude. Like,
I mean,
I'll tell you what. Like, let's do the impossible. Let's do next week, rather than just ranking like our three favorite Tarantino movies, let's do like a bit of a quicker list next week. Let's rank Tarantino's movies 1 to 9.
Hell yeah. Fuck it down.
It's like I say it all the time. Like, you know, even though like I've put something at 3, I can't think of anything from like at the moment, but like, you have to put something at 3. Doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means the other two are so good, and it's like it's like Tarantino. You have to put one of his movies last. doesn't mean it's bad. Yep. It's just that every movie this guy has done is fucking slapped. And it, you know, I don't know. Like, we'll have to talk between ourselves if we're going to count. Was it True Lies? I know some people do, some people don't.
I mean, I would focus primarily on stuff he's actually directed, not that he's
Yeah.
I think that's. I mean, we could obviously, because that's a whole other fucking thing. We could totally do something on writers too. We're both fucking writers. We could totally talk about those fuckers too.
Maybe we should. Maybe like, you know, branch out. You know, let's get Christopher. Let's get Aaron Sorkin in here, bro.
There you fucking go.
Let's get Aaron Sorkin on the podcast, bro. Come talk movies with us, man.
Bro, come on.
You can't handle the podcast.
You can't handle the podcast.
Yo, I really enjoyed this episode, man. I love the WGA updates that we're doing. I know a lot of people aren't following it, followed it for like the first week. You know, we need to be fighting a good fight. Letting the masses know, all two of them. I need to go repost the West Fires the Raven trailer reaction.
And okay, so I want to leave everyone with, you know, support writers. The actors go on strike, support your actors. These are people who create the content that has gotten everyone. I know it's gotten everyone through difficult times.
Through COVID,
pandemic, personal, whatever. Your go-to is to watch something because you know it's going to help elevate your mood, put you in the best state of mind, and just give you a break. So these are the people who are struggling right now. Make sure you're giving them love. We love you. Remember to rate, subscribe, share us, all of that good stuff. And we will catch you on the flippity flip.
And don't forget, wipe your ass after you shit, people. And wash your hands. Fuck's sake.
Wash your hands. Take it easy, everyone.
Bye.
Come join us on this trip. Now we're like to throwing out the scripts.
Come on, man. Come join us on the trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the scripts. I hope we don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.